الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise, complete glory and submission is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most benevolent, most generous, most compassionate and forgiving Lord, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon His noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon His pure and noble family, and upon the pure and illustrious companions, and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this blessed and noble day of Jumu'ah in this sacred month of Ramadan. And may our attendance become a means for our purification, our success and salvation. And may we be all raised on the day of Qiyamah like this amongst the Saliheen, the Nabiyeen, the Mursaleen, the Siddiqeen, and amongst all of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If I were to ask you a simple question, which is, if you saw a person praying their salah, but during their salah they were having something to eat, and during their salah they were on their phone and updating their WhatsApp status, would you consider that to be salah? Undoubtedly you'd say no. Similarly, if you saw somebody saying, I'm going to give my zakah or sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then he goes and he gives the money to his wife, or he goes and banks it back into his own account, would that be considered giving sadaqat or khairat or giving zakat in the way of Allah? No, because you're not doing it according to the parameters of the deen, not following the actual rules and regulations of the sharia, whether it is for salah, whether it is for zakah, or whether a person goes towards hajj and instead of going out to do tawaf, he sends a drone and the drone does 7 tawaf around the Kaaba, and he said, look, I've done tawaf, I've been to Mina and Muzdalifah and Arafah, look, I've got live views, it's actually me, I'm controlling it. But that person's hajj or umrah or all the other forms of worship would not be accepted because they have not actually followed the true aspects of the sharia. So similarly, the question comes for fasting. Would you consider a person who does not eat anything, does not drink anything, a person who is fasting? And most of, well, all of us will say yes, a person who does not eat anything, does not drink anything, is fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But many of us are actually doing this, but not actually fasting with our body, not actually fasting with our tongue, not actually fasting with our limbs. And during the days of Ramadan, we're actually eating as much as we want by backbiting and by doing various other things with the tongue. So inshallah al-aziz, today we'll see the actual purpose or the essence and the soul of fasting, and how we need to make sure that it's not just hunger and thirst that we feel, but we also fast with the body, with the soul, with the heart, and more importantly, we fast with the tongue. Because this is something that we all need to control and give a rest to. So the month of Ramadan comes with many, many gifts, many rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can imagine all of your hard-earned rewards that we try to achieve every single day. The fasting that we do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the reward for it is reserved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no limit. It depends on your sincerity and your effort. The dhikr that we do, the nawafil that we read, every nafil is the equivalent to a fard. Every fard is the equivalent to 70 fara'id. The salah that we do, the isha jama'at that we do, and the taraweeh and the fajr jama'at that we do, we are recorded as praying tahajjud all night. The iftar that we do for other people, we give food and money to them and say, do your iftar, and we receive the equal reward of them fasting as well, and the sadaqat, the istighfar, and all of the things that we do, everything is multiplied by a minimum of 30 to 700, or perhaps even more. So in a day, it's very easy for us to calculate that maybe we're getting at least 500,000 rewards, or maybe even a million rewards for even looking at the Qur'an. There are 70 rewards in the month of Ramadan. Reciting the Qur'an, 70 rewards for every harf, for every letter, for every word. Listening to the Qur'an, so very easily you can accumulate a huge amount of credit in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you are working, and instead of working overtime, you're getting paid 70 times your normal wage, or 700 times your normal wage for the same amount of work and effort that you put in. By the end of each and every day, you'd be very close to a millionaire, if not more than a millionaire. So what do we do when we accumulate the wealth of the dunya? Most of the Asians put the money in their pillows or under their mattresses or somewhere else, they hide it. But the majority of us, then we go and we bank the money to make sure it is safe and secure. We'll go to a deposit area and make sure it's nice and safe and secure. Why? Because we want to access that money in the time of need or in the future. And this is the exact same principle, that we are here in the beautiful month of Ramadan to accumulate all of these rewards, these hasanat, and this wealth, and these treasures given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that there is no safer deposit box than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no safer bank than the bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore all of the hasanat that we do in our mind, what do we think and what do we assume? They are all safe and secure. And when we need to access them on the day of Qiyamah, they will be there for us. This is what? Our assumption, because we have been fasting, and the reward of the fasting is all of these things, and then now we're going to access that on the day of Qiyamah. But then now, try to imagine that when you stand forth before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and when you go to open up your deposit box, and you see that all of those years of fasting, or a lifetime of fasting, or the days and nights of fasting, and all of the supposed hasanah that you had accumulated, you find it to be empty. What would your feeling be? What would your feeling be that all of the effort and everything that I did, everything has been taken away? There is no hasanat left in that particular box. And this is something that I want you to consider. How is it that we are accumulating all this wealth, but the bottom of our deposit box, there's a hole and everything is going out? It is coming in from the top and it is all flowing out at the same time. We need to make sure that our hasanat box is safe and secure. And in this regard, I want to share hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he mentions that inna min ahabbikum ilayya wa aqrabikum minni majlisan yawm al-qiyamati ahasanakum akhlaqan wa inna min abghadikum ilayya wa ab'adikum minni yawm al-qiyamah arthartharun wal mutashaddiqun wal mutafayhiqun. That the most beloved to me, the most loved and beloved to me, and the most closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those people who have the best of akhlaq. The best character will be those people with the best character will be the most beloved to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the most closest to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And then at the same time he mentions that the most disliked, or those that I most despise or hate, and those people who will be the furthest away from me on the day of Qiyamah will be three individuals, or people of three characteristics. And he mentions الثرثارون والمتشدقون والمتفيهكون, that those people who are talkative, constantly gibbering, jabbering, talking all the time, non-stop, They don't know when to start, they don't know when to stop. Excessively talking all the time, bila wajah, just aiming. These are one of the people that will be the furthest away from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The second will be the furthest away and most despised and disliked will be al-mutashaddiqoon, the pretentious, those people who are know-it-alls. You ask him something about the moon, ask him something about a mineral, ask him something about any particular field, and they'll always be like, I know this and I know this and I know this and I know, and they'll always have an answer, they'll always have an opinion, they'll always have some explanation that this, look at me, I'm a know-it-all. One is a talk-it-all and one is a know-it-all. And then the third one, al-mutafayhiqoon, and the Sahaba Ikram asked, who are the mutafayhiqoon? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he explained, al-mutakabbirun, those who are arrogant, those people who look down upon other people due to their power or their wealth or their fame or their knowledge, and they say, oh, what do you know? You are nothing in comparison to me, etc. You come to me, you need me. These are the three people who will be disliked, who will be despised, and who will be the furthest away from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. And if you look very, very carefully, the talkative and the pretentious and the arrogant, there is one common denominator in all of these things, and that is the people who are constantly using the tongue. Constantly using the tongue. This is something that I want to focus on today on Jumu'ah, that fasting is not just the fasting of the stomach, where we do not eat anything and where we do not drink anything during the daylight hours of Ramadan. But fasting rather is of the limbs, it is of the organs. True fast is actually a fast with the tongue. And this is one of the greatest elements that we fail in during the month of Ramadan, that we do not fast with our tongue. We do not control our tongue in terms of how much we speak and what we talk about and also how we talk to other people. And this will be our Achilles heel, and this will be the reason why we will see our accounts on the day of Qiyamah to be empty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the common thing in all of this is the tongue. And in this regard, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reminds us that إِذَا أَصْبَحَ ابْنَ عَادَمْ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَاءَ كُلَّهَا تُكَفِرُ اللِّسَانِ فَتَقُولُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِينَا فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكَ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ وَجَجْنَا. That every single morning, all of the limbs of Bani Adam, of insan, they speak to the tongue and say, you need to straighten yourself, you need to control yourself. If you are in order, if you are sound, then all of us will also be in order. But if you are corrupt and if you are unsound, then all of us will also consequently will be corrupt as well. So it is the tongue that gets you into trouble. What you say to your wife, what you say to your employer, what you say to your children, what you say to other people, it is the tongue that gives you izzah, and it is the tongue that also gives you zilalat as well. Honor and dishonor all comes from this very tongue that we have. So the power of the tongue is immense. But what do in the month of Ramadan? That although the shaitan is locked up, and the shaitan is chained, what do? We let loose our tongue and we just talk and talk and talk excessively and abundantly about things which are not necessary. And then we are talking in a pretentious manner that I know it all. And then we are talking in an arrogant manner towards other people as well, that what do you know? I know, etc. And you come to me. So don't be from those people who think that they are fasting. Just like those people who think they may be praying, but they're not. Those people who think that they're giving sadaqat and khairat, but they're not. Those people who assume that they're doing hajj and umrah, but they are not. Don't just think that you are fasting because you are not eating anything, you're not drinking anything, but you will only receive hunger and thirst on the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because you did not control your tongue. And this is the essence and the core of fast. Fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but with your limbs. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, رُبَّ سَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوْ, that perhaps the person who is fasting, he will have nothing except hunger and thirst. This is the only reward that he will have in the dunya, and he will have no reward for himself in the hereafter. So I want you to reflect upon this particular element in the month of Ramadan, because more than 15 days have passed us by. How much have we controlled our tongue? We've controlled our stomach, we've controlled our thirst, but how much are we controlling our tongue? Whether it is backbiting, whether it's ghibah or namima or slander or accusation or gossip or just idle talk, talk about something which is nonsensical. What are we doing with our tongue? Or should we be engaging our tongue in the remembrance and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will our tongue be the cause for all of our hasanat to be thrown away? Or will our tongue be the cause for us to enter into the gardens of paradise? So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he reminds us that مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَلَا عَمَلْ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That person who does not stop making false statements, who does not stop lying and backbiting and doing things with his tongue in the month of Ramadan and doing ill things with his tongue and with his actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolutely no need for him to leave his food and for him to leave his drink. Allah has no need for your food or for you to leave your drink. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want? He wants you to control your tongue, for you to leave false statements, for you to leave lying, for you to leave fraud, for you to leave backbiting, for you to leave gossip. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to leave in the month of Ramadan, more than the physical element of the food and the drinks that we have. So the easiest part of fasting is actually to stop eating and to drink. Put the food away, you're fasting, it's easy. What is actually the most difficult part of Ramadan is to control your tongue. That is far more harder for the women at home, for the men at work, or for wherever we may be. The hardest part of fasting is actually your tongue. And Hassan al-Basri, he mentions, he gives a beautiful quote, he says that if one body part should be jailed in the month of Ramadan, it should be the tongue. And imagine now, just reflect that for 16 hours of fasting, we fast for 16 hours almost every day. And we keep away from all of the halal things. We don't eat anything, we don't drink anything. But in the meantime, throughout the entire day, we are eating the flesh of our brothers and the flesh of our sisters by backbiting, by gossiping, by slandering, by lying and doing all of these things during the days and nights of Ramadan. So what benefit do you think we will actually have? What reward will we actually receive by the end of Ramadan, because we've been actually eating and drinking all day and eating the flesh of our brothers and sisters all day because we haven't controlled our tongue during the month of Ramadan. So this is the greater fast that we need to achieve, not the physical one, but this one of the tongue. So Uqba bin Amir, he once asked the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, that man najah, that what is salvation, what is true success? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam very simply put, he said, قَالَ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ, that control your tongue, manage your tongue. أَنْ وَلْيَسَعَ بَيْتُكَ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ. Three things that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that first of all, if you want salvation, true salvation in the dunya, and more importantly, salvation in the hereafter, control your tongue and what comes out of your mouth. Every single word that you say, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, that there is not a single thing, a single word that you utter, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has duly appointed an angel that is recording every single thing. We may think that we type things on our social media and we delete it. But no, believe me, all of your cookies are there and safe and secure with Facebook, with all the social media. They know everything that you type, even the things that you do not post. Imagine when they give you your record, this is what it is. But the record of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more precise and accurate. Every single thing that you uttered under the breath of your tongue, the quietly or openly, everything has been recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially the things that we are saying to one another in the month of Ramadan about each other, all of those words are actually eating away at all of our hasanat. So we will actually have nothing on the day of Qiyamah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, control your tongue, manage your tongue, be happy and content with whatever you have within your home. Don't always strive for extra. Whatever you have, say Alhamdulillah and live within your means. And thirdly, he mentions that cry over your sins. This is the way to salvation. This is the way to najah. This is the way to success. But all of us, or most of us, are failing in the very first step which is controlling our tongue. We don't care what we say. We don't care whether we are swearing. We don't care whether we are shouting. We don't care if we are accusing somebody or saying all of the things, the nasty things or horrible things. We don't care. We just say it. And then we think it's okay just to say sorry and everything's forgiven. It's not. Everything is recorded and written, and you will be questioned for all of those things that you uttered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he once saw Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and holding his tongue, physically holding his tongue. And in another narration, he had a stone that he used to place on his tongue, so that he would always be careful and considerate to say something. Before he said it, he would take the stone off his tongue and then he would utter that. And in this instant, he was holding his tongue to demonstrate how important it is for us to always be in control of this tongue, this thing that's constantly waggling around, this thing that can cause our destruction. This tongue, when you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, it will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tongue, when you say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim and Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, brings you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal in Salah. But this same tongue, when you say something, it can take you towards kufr, it can take you towards animosity, it can take you towards your own destruction, your very tongue. So this is what Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and was doing, is holding his tongue, and he was saying that this has destroyed me. Imagine the statement. This is no ordinary individual saying that this tongue has destroyed me. He was the first Muslim to accept Islam. He was the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was the first Khalifa of Islam. He was the first and the foremost to donate all of his wealth and everything that he had in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was recorded as a Siddiq in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given the Bashara of Jannah by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Yet he was worried because of his tongue. So ask yourselves, are you ever worried about what you say and what you utter in the quietness of your room or wherever you may be about other people or yourself and other things? Look at how they were worried and they were concerned and how they used to control themselves as much as possible, yet we don't care or flinch or even hesitate one moment and just say bakwas and just talk or talk pretentiously or talk arrogantly until it will be too late when we will not be able to talk. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. On that day, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal your lips shut. Seal your mouth shut. You will not be able to talk anymore. You'll not be able to have any justification, any excuses, and your hands and your limbs and everything that used to tell your tongue, be quiet, control yourself, they will testify against you. Allah, he used to do say this and do this and do this. Where will you go then on that day? So now is the time in the month of Ramadan, not just to fast with your stomach, not just to fast from food and thirst, but more importantly, fast with your tongue and to control your tongue, because this is the thing that will lead you towards your success or equally to lead you towards your destruction. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gives a very beautiful example that, do you know, atadruna mal muflis? Do you know who is the most bankrupt? And they say, Ya Rasulullah, the person who is the most bankrupt is the one who has no dirham, no dinar to his name, no pound, no pennies, no nothing to his name, no property. This is the person who is bankrupt. The Prophet ﷺ says, no, from my ummah, the bankrupt will be those people who will come on the day of Qiyamah, بِصَلَاتٍ وَصِيَامٍ وَزَكَاتٍ. They will come with the assumption, they will come with their salah. Allah, look how much salah I prayed for you. Allah, look how much fasting I did for you. Allah, look how much zakat I gave for you. They will come, they will have this assumption, this illusion that they've prayed and they've fasted and they've given so much. They will come with all of these things and everything will be utterly rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because during their lifetime they did not control their tongue. They hurt somebody, they accused somebody, they blamed somebody, they spread vicious gossip and slander and backbited against another person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have taken all of their hasanat, all of their good deeds, and given it away to all of those people that they wronged with their tongue. This is the person who will be bankrupt on the day of Qiyamah. And when that individual has no longer got any more hasanat, any more good deeds, then what will happen? All of the bad deeds of those individuals that they wronged will be transferred over to you. Because you have nothing else to give, then you have to take on all of their debts. This is why, for one reason only, because of our tongue. So think about it before you hurt somebody's feelings, before you say something negative to your parents or to your family members, to your friends, to your employees, to any other person, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Control your tongue, because this will be the cause for your destruction on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gives us another beautiful example. Safiyya binti Huyay, she was one of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ummahatul mu'mineen, the mother of all of the believers. She once came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and she walked into the room and Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was there alongside the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and they had their conversation. But as Safiyya binti Huyay, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was leaving, there's two narrations, as she was leaving Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she said that, oh, she's short. Just one word. What? She's short. And this is probably a fact, but it's how it's said, with the intention that it's said. In one narration, she just said she's short. And in another narration, she gestured that she's a bit short. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam immediately got angry, and he said, Ya Aisha, you've said a word that if it was mixed with the ocean, then the ocean would be contaminated. Why? Because you said it in a derogatory manner. You said it in a negative way. You said it to demean and devalue that individual. Just one word. Where did it come from? The mouth, from the tongue of that individual. And look at the consequences that if were to mix that one word with the ocean, the entire ocean would be contaminated with that particular word. So look at the grave consequences of our tongue and how powerful it is and how it can lead to our corruption or our destruction. So how many people, just ask yourself, do we very easily, just say it all the time, oh, there's a kala person, there's a black person, oh, there's a white person, oh, there's a fat person, there's a short person, there's a stupid person, there's a silly person, this person is this. We say these things so casually without any concern that you don't even realize you are giving all of your hasanat away. All of the days and nights and the starving that you thirst that you had, you're giving them away to those people because you could not control your tongue. You could not fast with your tongue. And this is the purpose of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person utters a word thoughtlessly, without any thought, and as a result of that one heedless word, he will fall or sink into the fire of hell for over 70 years. Just by that one thoughtless word. So we work so hard in the month of Ramadan. We are fasting for 16 hours a day, reading 20 rak'ah, doing qiyamul layl, standing forth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying our salawat, doing our iftar, doing our taraweeh. We do all of this. But every single day, just ask yourself, when Tarawih finishes, when Salah finishes, or any event finishes, we start off with the trustees. The trustees are like this, they haven't done this, they haven't done this, they haven't done that. Bade ye, bade wo, bade wo. And then we go on to the Imams, we look at the Imams, look at how they are, look at how they behave, X, Y, and Z. And then we go on to the Huffaz, so they took so long, and don't they care about us, X, Y, and Z. Then we'll go on to the Masjid, then we'll talk about such and such family and that individual, then we talk about our friends and what they did, and then we'll do so much talking that we have thrown away all of our hard-earned deeds in that same day, and will actually be in deficit by the end of the day. Why? Because of our tongues. Because we're not fasting with our tongues, we're just fasting with our stomach. This is the difference. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَدِيدٌ. No matter what you utter, to be recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For God's sake, give your angel on the left a break in the month of Ramadan. The angel on your left is recording every single bad deed that you do. Give the angel on your left a rest and give your angel on the right some work to do and increase in your hasanat and in your good deeds in the month of Ramadan. أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَلَّا نَسْمَعُوا سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. That do you consider, do you think that we do not hear even your deepest, darkest secrets that you utter in your private conversation, but rather we do, and our messengers, i.e. the angels, they are recording every single thing. So again, I mentioned in the month of Ramadan, that if you see somebody praying, but they are talking and WhatsApping during their salah, if you see people doing umrah by their drones and other things, you'll never consider that to be salah or qiyam or anything else. Similarly, those people who are fasting, but they are not controlling their tongue, they're not actually fasting, dear brothers, because we can see this explicitly from the Quran and Sunnah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to protect and to control our tongue and truly fast the way the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala is fasting the month of Ramadan, not just with the stomach, but more importantly with the heart and also with the tongue. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا